right. Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of Bid Nerds. It's your daily nerd out on the most interesting car day from all the automotive enthusiast auction sites. My name is John Polnick. I'm coming to you from the downtown Las Vegas Container Park, as well as my partner, Michael Deeb, in San Francisco. How you doing, Michael Deeb?
Yeah. Good, man. Coming to you from the yet unnamed studio that we are crowdsourcing the name from the Nerd Herd. So if you guys can take a look at this mess and tell me what you think, we will name the studio based on, you know, what best caption wins kind of thing, right?
You know, how about this? Yeah, I think that's good. So let us know in the comments below, and we're going to pay attention to all those. And I don't know if we'll do a contest or just pick one that we like from the comments, but we will announce it when we get to 1,000 subscribers. We're getting close. Okay. The Nerd Herd is stepping up. You guys are spreading the word, and we really appreciate that. If you're new to the channel and you're like, what is this that we've been hearing about, this nerd, bid nerd thing? We find the most interesting car from all the auction sites. We have a conversation about that car, and we make a prediction. And the fun part is we marry our conviction. We should be convicted for having such a terrible show. There ought to be a law against it. We marry our predictions with what actually happens. We reconcile reality with our stupidity, and it always goes off the rails. So stick around to the end to find out the results of the car that we talk about today. Today, we are talking about a car that I actually really like. I know you probably picked it for me, or at least you probably picked it because we're rooting for this platform.
Yes.
That's coming out. The marked platform is the platform we're talking about today. Michael Deeb, take it away. What's the most interesting car of the day today?
All right, John, what we're looking at on the marked platform is this 2005 Porsche 911 Turbo S Cabriolet with 18,000 original miles, offered for sale out of Portland, Oregon. This car was equipped with $13,000 in options. Now, before you start laughing at me for that, you have to go back to 2005 and realize $13,000 in options was a lot of money in options. The really
that was the a Honda Civic. Thing,
the option thing really took off after like 2010 with the luxury brands, and now spending $60,000 in options at your Porsche or Ferrari dealership or your Lamborghini dealership or your McLaren dealership is like nothing. That's like a drop of water in the bucket. But $13,000 in options in 2005, which was nearly, let me remind you, nearly 20 years ago, that was like, holy God. This car's got ceramic brakes. It's a manual transmission. I think it looks really, really good on the 18-inch Sport Techno wheels. This car also has a sport shifter. I'm not sure if that was like original equipment to the Turbo S or if it was a standalone option, but this car has the sport shifter, which, John, you put one sport shifter on your, didn't you have that, the 993 C4? Didn't you have a sport shifter in that and say
every,
it really made a big difference?
Every 996 that I've ever owned, if it didn't come with a short shift kit, the GT3 short shift kit, I put one in.
Yeah.
It's one of the greatest mods you can do.
It's amazing, huh?
Platform.
Yeah. So,
or 997.
So, yeah, I've always, admittedly, and I don't know if I've said this on the show ever before, I have always looked past 996s. I feel like the GT2 might be a little too hairy, and the GT3 would probably be the one I would like. I love the way C4S looks in the rear. And on paper, a 40th anniversary just sounds like it'd be a great car for me. But I am looking at this car with the painted lower like front valance and the Sport Techno wheels and the ceramic brakes and the fact that it's a Cabriolet. And I'm like, God, if you had to have one car for the rest of your life, I'm telling you, this 996 Turbo S cab would probably tick about every single box you could possibly imagine. And I'm looking at this car thinking it's a car I would absolutely love to own. I would have so much fun in this car, John. I'd probably keep a bottle of suntan lotion in the glove box and be the happiest guy for now till eternity. These cars are now bringing kind of crazy money. The question is, will it bring the kind of crazy money that it needs for the consignor to let it go on the marked platform? So this was a $155,000 car at MSRP nearly 20 years ago. It only has 18,000 miles, and it looks to be in very good conditions. The photographs are pointing out the smallest little dings and scratches that are on the car from regular wear. So they're very honest photos, and it looks like it's a very well-presented lot. The car is sitting at just $57,000 on 21 bids. I think that this is, in today's market, you know, $125,000 car. The question is, what can Marked get for it, and where's the reserve at? So with all that being said, a Turbo S cab with, you know, like just low miles and in really good condition, I still think this needs to be like $115,000 car, even if you're not expecting to still get $130,000, $135,000 for it, which is kind of what I think it's worth. So $115,000 is my bid as I send it back to you, JP. What do you think is going to happen for this particular car on this platform?
Well, it really is a beautiful car, and the Turbo 996 is just such an excellent, excellent Porsche. I mean, Porsche actually got it right with this one. The 996, much maligned, you know, everyone talks about styling and all kinds of things, and there is controversy surrounding 996s, but the Turbo has really kind of fixed a lot of the problems that people, or at least a lot of the criticisms that people had of 996s. Obviously, the engine having the Metzger engine, so you don't get to deal with the crazy IMS failure that is very, very, very prominent on the naturally aspirated cars. This is not the M96 engine. It's just better all around. And, you know, not being a cabriophobe, it's 2023, enjoy the top down. You're not going to have sun tan lotion, Deeb, let's be real. We're both bald guys. You have to have sunblock, you know, because especially here in the desert, right? Now, I absolutely love this car. The thing there's a couple of things. One that's jumping out at me. I'm slightly concerned about the fact that this car, sorry, I was trying to pull up a picture under the hood. I don't know why there's no option codes under the hood. Usually on the under the hood, there's the option codes under the hood, and on the photos of this car, this is, man, Marked is. I do like the people at Marked, but I'm not a huge fan of the usability of the user interface. It's one of the clunkier ones.
Yeah, it's photo 85 in the bucket, and as you're pulling it up, I can see what you see, which is that option sticker is not there. The twin to that sticker should be in the books, but they don't open the books and show it to you, so that's kind of a miss.
Yeah, so that makes me think that it was repainted for some reason, and, you know, it's one thing for a respray on the outside, but the underside usually means that the hood was mangled, and looking at the Carfax, there's no mention of anything like that. So it really is suspect that that's missing. Can you think of any legit reason why that sticker would not be there in a car with so few miles? We're not saying that it was in an accident.
Yeah, we're speculating.
There's a bunch of paint meter photos that show. I mean, I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah. Listen, either the dealer forgot to put the sticker, no, because the, I think they do that at the port.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they do it at that. You're really testing my memory now. Do they do it at the factory or do they do it at the port where they put that sticker on there? It's entirely possible that the sticker came off, but you would.
The car was originally delivered in Florida, where there's a lot of humidity, and there's another reason why we don't.
Yeah.
Why we kind of say, you know, be careful with Florida cars.
Yeah. So it's really interesting. But you would think that the guys at Marked would speak to that, because it is something you would look for, and the people that are really shopping Porsches would know that and be wanting to see it. Same way you'd look for you know, matching VIN stickers on a Honda or a BMW. You know, that's something they do on every panel. So with Porsche, you really get the goods because you see the build matrix under the hood. And so for that not to be present, you definitely have to be able to answer to the question. So that's kind of a shame that it's not there.
You know, the thing about this car, I know the S has a little bit more horsepower than the standard turbo. But turbo 996s, it's so easy to get a little extra power. So the S has the X51 or something like that. It gives a little bit more poop. But is the premium that you pay for an S really worth it? I mean, I guess as a collector car, sure, but as a driver car, I mean, how much more is the S worth than a regular standard 996 turbo in the exact same condition? You know, are we talking about a 10% difference? Are we talking about a 50% difference?
No, I think it's in that 20 to 30% range. And that's a gray estimate. Yeah. That's just my knowledge. And it's just, it's a little more horsepower and ceramic brakes, but otherwise the cars are the same.
And I'd rather have the car with steel brakes and, you know, spend just a few thousand dollars and you can get this thing to be 500 horsepower like that, you know?
Yeah.
So that 10 to 20% premium that you're going to pay, you could get way more power and coilovers and all kinds of other great things that.
Yeah. And if you're planning to go out and drive your car and rip it, then the standard one is the one you want. This one with less than 20,000 miles is kind of an investment grade car and barely an investment grade condition. It does have a little bit of wear and tear as you'd expect from somebody that bought it. But, yeah, you'd really be sitting pretty if you could afford to buy this car and then still go out and drive it unconsciously and just not care about stone chips and take it on rallies or drive it to go see your friends in Las Vegas, that kind of thing. Yeah. But not everybody sits in that situation. So, yeah, John, that's a fair take that you would – the money you would save by getting the standard car, you can only spend a fraction of that to get it to be a better performing car than the S, and you'd still have money in the bank. So that is a good take. But this is a beautiful looking car. Like I said, I love the way it looks on those wheels.
You know, the other thing that always concerns me about these is, you know, anytime you look at a 996 or early 997 or all water pumping Porsches, really, you know, people buy them and they don't drive them and they sit and they don't go through kind of the shakedown that happens when you do drive them. When you buy, when someone bought this back in 2004 and they had it for those first 3 years and they had a warranty for this car, you know, if you drove it normally, normal things that were kind of problems with the 996 era cars, some of the electronic gremlins in the door, in the windows and the regulators, rear main seals that weren't catastrophic, but did cause leaks. The second gear detent, which is a genuine problem that's specific to the turbos, the second gear will pop out. I've seen not just a few cars that would have. Those little things would have revealed themselves in that first 30,000 miles of driving the car regularly. And if you had, those things would have been under warranty and would have been taken care of. Now this car has 20-something thousand miles, so whoever gets it is going to get it while that car is kind of still in that shakedown period. And now those repairs are going to be – you're going to have to pay for them rather than the factory paying for them. So that's something you got to look out for when you're looking. Sometimes it's better to, if you're going to be a driver, you're better off buying a car with more miles and service records than you are a car with fewer miles and without those, without the proof that those things have been taken care of.
Again, very fair take. Say something that we can argue over. Well, yeah, I agree with you on that one. Look, it's totally true.
The big The big question here really is whether or not Marked has the eyeballs for this. We have seen Marked kind of flailing. We know the people that run Marked. We like them. They're not shady like some people at some of the other.
They're the opposite.
Yeah, these guys really are trying. They are genuine enthusiasts, and they're trying to genuinely do the right thing, not just say they are. By all accounts, the proof is that they have been, but they're just not getting the traction that I think their platform deserves. And so we really got to wonder whether or not this car has a chance. So what do you think is going to happen, Michael Deep?
Yeah, sorry, John. When I introduced the car, I talked myself right into a circle and went right to the numbers. So this was $155,000 MSRP. The car sits at $57,000 on 21 bids. I do think that this is like $130,000 to $140,000 example, maybe a little bit less given the market and a little bit of wear and patina, say about $125,000. So I want Mark to at least get $115,000 for that to show that they're capable of getting at least within the correct ballpark for the car, at least where you could be close enough to negotiate a deal. So I might also be bidding a little bit with my heart, but I'm going to send it to you at $115,000 and say, hey, Marked is Porsche's platform, and this is a beautiful, not blue chip, but this is a really high standard Porsche, and it has a broad appeal. This is a car that I think a lot of people would want. They should be able to get over $100,000 for this. So I'm going to give it to you at $115,000, JP. What do you think is going to happen?
All right. Yeah. I don't know. I love this car, and I do agree that it should be bringing some, this car should bring a premium. It's presented well. It looks great. There is that question about that the under the hood sticker, which is a big question to me. But I just don't think the S is worth the extra squeeze. I think the fact that this is a cabrio is really going to hurt this car. I don't think it gets anywhere near $100,000. I'm going to say 85 at best.
85.
At best. I just don't. I mean, they're just not bringing that kind of money. What do you guys think? Let's see in the comments below, and we will find out right after this. Hey guys, I gotta tell you about our friends Godin Porsche of Las Vegas and Godin Classic. If you're looking for a new Porsche or a classic, you gotta call our friend Steve at Godin, this guy.
1989 linen gray metallic G50 cab.
Is that gonna be for sale?
It is gonna be for sale. The car only has 65,000 miles.
Save yourself the hassle of screwing around with all the auctions like we always talk about and just talk to Steve. He'll find you the classic Porsche you're looking for, Godin Porsche of Las Vegas.
If you love watching car videos on YouTube, you got to check out my channel, The Rami Show.
Oh, yeah, The Rami Show. Hey, you know, it's funny. I saw Steve and the gang over at Godin Porsche of Las Vegas. They went out to there was a PCA show in Utah of all places over the weekend, and Godin decided to go out there and make a display. They did a really good job. Steve was out there and the whole gang and about 20 other cars. It was a beautiful setting. Tewakin or something like that. Those of you from Utah will know what I'm talking about. Beautiful place, but kind of not the greatest car show ever, if I do say so. But Godin's display was awesome. If Godin wasn't there, it would have been just like a handful of Porsches in the parking lot while they had one of these kind of like art walks in the park type of thing. So a lot of confused people pushing strollers around going, what's going on over there? We went up there with Chef. We took his GT3 RS, and while he wasn't looking, I bought him a dream catcher and stuck it in his rear mirror. So we had a good time with that.
That's pretty funny. I saw that the linen gray cab that is in our commercial, which we've been running for about 2 months, and this is not an indictment on Godin Classic or Steve or anything, but that car is finally on the front line. So that car is on their website.
Well, actually, it's funny you mentioned that because I was there yesterday, and it's in the showroom, but it's sold. Yeah. Once it actually went public that it was for sale, that thing went fast.
Yeah, it's a beautiful car. I mean, every time we go on, I'm like, when's that car coming to the front line?
I know, right? I got to update their commercial. I really do.
Yeah, the car came live, and now by the time I can tell the Nerd Herd that it's available, it's already sold. So there you go. That's how fast they sell cars at Godin. So, you know, jump on it, or if you see something that they have, because they do a really good job on their social media of telling you about cars that are coming in. Like right now, their media feed is filled with all of the work being done to the yellow 993 Turbo that they're entering in the classic competition, which I think the announcer will be named in Monterey. John, you and I were there last year when they judged the Bumblebee car that they did. Yeah. But like, if they get a car and they're going to bring it in before any of the reconditioning work is being done on the car, they'll tell you about the car. So if you see something on their feed that you're interested in, that is your time to act. Like, you should reach out then, because by the time the car hits the front line, you know, everybody, it's a feeding frenzy and the car's gone. So there you go. Good job.
Well, speaking of convertibles, speaking of Porsches, everyone's sticking around waiting to find out the results of this 996 Turbo S over there on our good friends, the Marked platform. Let's go ahead and get to the results, Michael Deeb. What happened?
All right, John, one more little peek behind the curtain. You and I use a living document, and when a car doesn't sell, we put FTS for failure to sell. That's our note to one another about what happened in the thing. On this one, the note should be FTL, as in failure to launch, because when we looked at the car on Marked last week and we spoke about it, it was at $57,000. I guessed that the value of this car, and that Marked having a Porsche of this, you know, this rarity and in this excellent condition, that they should get $115,000 for the car. You were way more pragmatic and are betting the platform, saying, look, Marked's got to get their act together. They've got to start proving they can do this, or you know, they're going to start taking on water. And so you said $85,000, which is way under my bid. Again, it was at 57,000 when we looked at it. The car failed to sell or failed to launch at just $60,500 on 27 bids. You and I know the guys over at the offices at Porsche Digital. You know, one of the guys over there bought my Ruby Turbo Look coupe, and we've been friends with those guys ever since. We're pulling for them. But if they can't even get your lowball number of $85,000, like, let's just say that the bidding went to your number at $85,000, I don't think it meets the reserve at that number. I don't think it sells at that number. So your bid was really an indictment on the platform and not, I think, a valuation of what the car is worth. If they can't even get to your lowball number, it's just not working at the moment. And that pains me to say that, because we love those guys and we want them to we want to see somebody pull through and get to that mass adoption the way PCar Market did, certainly the way Cars and Bids has done. We bang on them for their photos or their low-grade cars, but they're making money. This is a problem. If Mark can't bring, you know, even respectable below the reserve money, where you could at least expect them to get on the phone and try to bridge a post-hammer deal, they've got a big challenge ahead of them. I mean, it's springtime, it's convertible season, Luft is happening, Rennsport is happening. This would be the year to buy a car like that. I don't think this is a reflection on the economy. I think it's a reflection on the platform, and that pains me to say it. So, John, I send it over to you, but, man, this bums me out.
I hate to say that I agree with you. You know, it's been brought up in the comments before that, you know, we are sponsored by Godin Classic. And Godin Classic is obviously a Porsche dealership. We have done work for Porsche Classic. And, you know, Mark is owned by Porsche. But there is absolutely no professional connection with those guys whatsoever. And we ish on PCar Market all the time. And so, you know, people are like, oh, well, you're just shilling for Marked because they butter your bread or something like that. And I don't know. You can look at episodes and you can see we've been pretty critical of Marked when the time comes, when they do something that we think we should be critical of them. And honestly, it's never been about their business practices. And I don't want to turn this into another ish session on PCar Market, because we've definitely done that to death. But the Marked people, everyone that we've dealt with and every interaction that we've heard people having with the Marked platform has been positive, in the sense that their customer service is great. They don't have those, you know, skeezy, high pressure things. You know, they're doing a lot of things right. But fundamentally, the big problem is that if you don't have enough cars on your platform, if you can't get out there and attract enough people to sell their cars on your site, you're just not going to have the visitors coming back. When you go to the site and you see, oh, okay, there's three or four cars here, and then there's only two cars, and then, okay, there's a car a week. What are we doing here? And then, you know, because they had some really high-profile success right out of the gate. Yeah. And then just from there, it just trickled off. I mean, some of the numbers, I was like, whoa, that's pretty darn impressive. But now it's like they can't. I mean, this car should have sold. This is peak buying time for convertibles, and it's just not happening over there. And I think they're going to have a come to Jesus moment where, I mean, my opinion is that they need to dig down and find some money and advertise their butts off. That's one thing that PCar Market did really well, is they were in all the spaces, and they should be going after a piece of PCar Market, not necessarily going after BAT. I think that Marked could own the PCar Market space. But I don't know. I don't know if they would ever be successful, because part of what makes PCar Market successful, honestly, is their scuzziness, their willingness to do things that nice people and good people are just not willing to do. And unfortunately, in this environment, I don't know if you can make it if you're not willing to be an a-hole. I just don't think that. I think that's the case. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. So the budget that they would need to create for advertising is to attract registered buyers to their site, to let people know that's a place to go to find good cars, good deals, and an integrous business practice, right? I mean, they are literally the polarity to the way the business model runs at PCar Market. But I don't think for any of these platforms, and again, I'm on the, you know, I come from a sales background. I don't see that there's any shortage of finding cars. And I think Marked has brought good cars to market. I think the hardest part, I think the biggest challenge for any online auction platform, even the live auction platform, is getting buyers in front of you and having them looking at the car at the appropriate time, enough time to do their due diligence, and at the time that it's closing so that they can bid one more time and possibly push the car over the top and get it sold. And I think that's the biggest challenge for all the platforms, and I see that's what's happening with Mark. Mark is getting good cars. That black turbo that was on the East Coast that we covered last month, that was a beautiful car, and although we understood it that car just failed to meet the reserve, this car at $60,000, I'm going to say is nowhere near what that car is worth. You know, that might be like 55-60% of the value on the dollar. And so that to me tells me there's a shortage of, they had 27 bids, which is good action, but not enough people were chumming it up to get it to where that number needed to be. And so that's just, you know, like I said, it's just kind of a bummer. I think they need more registered bidders to drive these numbers up and get these cars sold. And is it too late to start advertising for them? I mean, you know, to me, it's spring, and we got a big Porsche summer this weekend, this year. I think it's now or never time for them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that they've gotten a handful of great cars, but you need more than, oh, they had this really nice car and that really nice car. You need a bunch of cars.
Well,
you need cars like that all the time. And so, yeah, I don't disagree with you that the eyeballs of the buyers are really what's important, right? Eyeballs coming back, they got to have inventory. If there's no inventory, the eyeballs aren't coming back.
So you and I are arguing semantics, the chicken and the egg thing.
Yeah.
My feeling and what I'll stand on is if the black car sold and this car sold, you'd start getting more cars too. I think the cars come when the cars that you have sell. You're not going to sell anything until you get more buyers or you get more eyeballs looking at the auction. If those cars start to sell, then the cars will just start trickling in. The cars will find you because they know if they bring it to you, you're going to sell it. That's my feeling. And again, it's debatable till the cows come home, but I don't know, man. This like I said, this
well,
result.
Let me ask you, Mahadeeb. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if we have how much time we got here, but you know, someone, you get the phone call, Mahadeeb, we need a hero.
Uh-huh.
You are now hired as the CEO of Mart.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
Yeah. Oh boy, that's a good.
I'm accepting a job at Cinnabon. Sorry, I'm not interested.
Yeah, man, I know that's a tough one. It really, I like your idea. You got to advertise and get the buyers. You know, if I was working for Porsche Digital, I'd want Porsche to put their name on it. I think that would help it. I don't think anybody associates the Mark platform to Porsche's money, and Porsche Digital might argue that it's not Porsche's money, that it's investors' money, but Porsche Digital is running it. And that tie-in, I think, could be valuable if they're willing to flaunt it. And I don't know that they are. So, boy. That could be a front row seat on the Titanic. You know what I mean? Like that, like a luxury suite.
If you're marked, do you say, hey, let's, and we have the connection to all these, you know, to Porsche, do you go, well, all right, let's start putting Porsche dealership inventory on here. Let's start getting, if there's 13 classic dealers in the country, let's give them incentives to put at least one of their cars on the platform every month. That's 13 dealerships. If each dealership did one car on the platform, you know, that's a dozen more cars that would be great cars, and they'd be backed up by Porsche dealerships, the Shield.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's not a bad idea. And then along that lines, you could do like a classified section,
right?
So that the rest of the cars could be on your platform. And then you could have sponsored branding by Porsche Classic, and I would totally tie in the Porsche, and then you really would steal P Car Markets in, because part of P Car Markets, you know, cachet is that they're the Porsche guys, and yet they're so not, they're really not, and yet these guys are, and they refuse to use the crest. So it's a weird thing. Like I said, again, failure to launch. Like let's get this show on the road, man. It's now or never.
It's time for them to get crafty. You know, it's like, okay, we're gonna really hone in on our basic soft skills and be really nice. So like no, guys, you have a shot at eating the lunch of one of your competitors, and it ain't BAT. Sorry, it's just not. But there's this other one sitting out there that's just ripe for the picking, and they're just like, doop, 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 doop. I don't know. Maybe we'll see them over the weekend for Luft Cult weekend. Are you guys going to Luft Cult? We're going to be there, and hopefully we'll see you there. There's a drive on Friday, and there's the
all kinds
of stuff. Yeah, so I'm going to get in the old air-cooled car Thursday morning and head to Knob Hill Cafe and have dinner Thursday night.
Yeah, that's going to be fun, man. I can't wait to see you there.
I hope I make it. Driving a classic car, 1,000 miles, always fun.
You're going to drive 500 miles to get up here. It's 530 miles to get to San Francisco.
It's the last 30 miles that I'm most worried about.
My friend Al and I went and did the route yesterday for the drive on Friday. And, I'm telling you, I'm very excited because we picked it from a map. We sat over the weekend in front of my computer and just said, all right, let's take this.
Let's talk about that on the next episode, guys.
Yeah,
all right.
Super fun.
All right. We will see you guys tomorrow with the most interesting car of the day. Bye. Maybe. Bye. I think we're going.
Get the dirt!